Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson today is 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. It's actually found on page 236 in the Pew Bible, and if you're using the large print, it's on page 306. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of God for the people of God. Okay, our epistle lesson today is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. And again, in the New Testament, in the Pew Bible, is on page 164, and in the large print on page 212. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Sorry. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. For I now know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have fully known. And now in faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." The word of God for the people of God.
As you stand for the gospel, we turn to the gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Jesus is teaching. He began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into the good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. Verse 14. Jesus explains, the sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown, and when they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and all the lure of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the work, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones who sown on good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Don, thank you for helping. I asked Don to lead us this morning so that I could get a feel for how you're... Oh, now I have the lavalier. You can pick which one. I didn't have it turned on. Much to get used to. And to getting used to all of you, and I want to express my thanks to the choir for coming off of vacation to greet us, and thank you so much, and all of you for being here. I don't know how you're doing. How are you? Some grief? Some grief at saying goodbye to Pastor Will? Some grief at having to come at a later hour? I leave a lot of friends. 17 years I was in Johnstown. But I'm worshiping in heart with them as well. So grief, joy, change. Change, isn't that an interesting word? You know, the Chinese have pictograms, and I'm told that the word change is two symbols. One is crisis. How many of you know that word? And the other one is opportunity. So crisis and opportunity, that's what change is about. I'd rather not have either one, but sometimes we've got to do something different. This beautiful church, there's a few empty spots. We need to work on that. I have to tell you, though, I'm experiencing the bends, and you know what the bends are? How many of you are scuba divers? Any certified? Daniel, I bet you're a certified scuba diver. No? Don? No? Are you a certified scuba diver? Good. Long time ago. Okay. Friend of mine in Johnstown scuba all over the world. He has come. He made it sure and pick all the places where there were good diving reefs that he went. But if you go down deep and the nitrogen gets in your blood and you come up, it expands, it'll rupture the blood vessels. Very painful stuff. But the change in depth is what's painful. And I am experiencing that graphically. This morning I got up very early to worship with your sister church, Jefferson Avenue United Methodist Church. How many of you have heard of the Jefferson Avenue United Methodist Church? They are praying for you. I hope you will pray for them. And now you're yoked together around this two-point charge and our differences and our agreements. And God is good. We do know that. Let's try it again. God is good. Amen. I've experienced the bends as I watch the news. I have not seen the news in a week. I haven't had TV in over a week. I haven't really missed it. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad, but that week prior to preparing to move and boxing everything and was a shooting in South Carolina, Mother Emmanuel Methodist Episcopal Church. Oh, heartbreak. How can humans be like this? How can this happen?
And yet then at the same time, as I see this spread over the news and brought to us in living high definition color, I realized that, wait a minute now, there was a clip here on the news. It was a short one. They had some flooding here in Aurora about that same week. Did you have some flooding? Paya, did you tell me that the conference room got a little water in it? All right. Nobody had to build an ark? We're good? Okay, just check in there. I saw on the news they had a closed-circuit television camera had caught a car that had driven down in some water and it got stalled and the water filled up. It was up to the windows. And man just walked down in the water, soaking wet, up to his waist, and he took a little girl out of the car and walked out, put her on dry land. God is good. Sometimes we don't see those acts of goodness. We don't know who that man was or the girl. Grainy, closed-circuit television shot of it all. There are more good things than bad, I have to tell you that. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the good things of the staff parish that's helped bring me on board, all of you that have helped me do all of that work. And Jack came and helped get us in on a morning when we couldn't. Paya has saved my life in the office. She's gradually training me. Give her a couple of years. The error on the page number is mine, not hers. Any errors are mine, not hers. Paya, bless you, my good friend. These acts of goodness are legion. 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 You know that word, Don?
Have you heard that word?
You know it's still
this one that's working. Which one's working? Which one do you have me on? You have me on the pulpit? Okay, all right, I'll stay here.
It's a leash.
Yeah, see, I can't get over to get to Don now. All right. Legion. That's a word that comes out of the Bible. Well, I'll leave them both on. Was it better with both?
What do you like for sound? That's a little different. You guys tell me what you want me to do. I'm at your mercy, gentlemen. So. Okay, very good. Yeah, the lavalier has some. All right. Change. Getting used to. New things here. We're going to get there. Legion. Now, how many of you know what a Roman legion is? It was a bunch. How many? Anybody know? How many, Don? Yeah, it was a bunch. Probably 1,000. Jesus meets this demoniac, the Gerasenes demoniac. You remember that parable? And the man is so crazy, people can't get near him. He's just nuts. Reminds me of me last week. And Jesus comes to him and he says to him, he says, "What is your name?" And the man responds, "My name is Legion because we are many." We are many. All of those cares of the world, all those problems, all those things, we are many. We are Legion. And I want to tell you that I'm experiencing that all the acts of goodness, of care, of compassion, of love, those are Legion, much more than those acts that break our hearts. The bends, it's about that change thing, but we got to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. We got to remember that what we're about, and we got to remember that we have to bear fruit. We have to bear fruit, and that's what we're called to do. Jesus gathered his disciples, he trained them, he spent time with them, and then what did he do? Did he say, go sit in a monastery and write it all down? Go out into the world. Make disciples of all the world. Go, bear fruit. The ones sown on the good soil, they hear the word, accept it and bear fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, I come from farming country up there in Johnstown. How many of you got cornfields in your backyard? Wheat fields, wheels of amber grain. Amber, what's the song? Amber waves of grain. There we go. I told you, I got the bins here. I'm fragmented. What did you think of that passage that Chris read about Samuel? That's a pivotal one for us. Samuel's sitting there and he doesn't know. And the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. He runs to Eli. He figures, got to be Eli. We're the only ones here. And what does Samuel think? Boy, go to bed. I'm tired. Finally figures it out. And what does he respond? Samuel, Samuel, here I am, Lord. I'm listening now. That's how it is with clergy. Daniel and I can testify. The bishop calls you and says, new church. And you want to say, I want to go find Eli. I don't want to listen to this change. I don't want to listen to where you're sending me, where you're pulling me out of comfortable, centered connections and go somewhere new. You don't want a new pastor that you've got to train. Poor Pia's got her work cut out for her for weeks, trying to break me in. And I'll do things that'll be different. And you'll say, that's not the way we used to do it. But God calls, and when we respond, here I am. Say that with me. Here I am. Send me. Paula and Melissa and I have been sent here. And when we believe that the will of God is in the middle of that, and we'll hope that that continues to be the case. We are sent to be here, to be part of you, and we are all sent into the world to offer Christ and to grow the body of Christ. I don't know. Now, it's a new thing. Have you ever heard of John Wesley? Has that name ever come up here any time? You've heard of him, huh? All right, good. He was kind of a nutcase, but that's neither there nor there. I am, too, if you'll get to know me better. But John Wesley said something really important. He said, and I don't have the exact quote, so those of you, Daniel, I know, is a biblical scholar, and he'll quote it later, but I'll let him off the hook for now. He said, do all the good you can to all the people you can, as often as you can. There's another piece of it. I missed it. For as long as you can. Do everything all the time, as much and just keep doing those things. That's what Wesley was about. That's why we're Methodists. That's why we're connected to that Methodist church in South Carolina. They were brothers and sisters with us. We had a kind of a falling out. No church ever has falling outs, do they? Doing good. Doing the right things, doing only the right things, and do no harm. And be in the midst of that. This is July 5th, isn't it? You'll notice I'm not wearing a watch. It's in my packing somewhere. I haven't found it yet. I've warned somebody that if I go past 2 o'clock to let me know that we're running long, but we'll try and make it nice. July 5th. Anybody? Last night, it seems like something was happening last night. What was that, you, Don, setting off fireworks in the backyard behind my house? That was you doing that? How many of you set off fireworks last night? Good. A couple of you anyway. Melissa puts her hand up. Yeah, well, okay. I'm a patriot. I am a believer in this country. We are a wonderful country. But we're not a perfect country yet. We're not quite there. There was a series of books I'm reading by a fellow by the name of Boris Chertok. Boris Chertok. Want to say that with me? You've got to roll the tongue when you do it those days. Boris Chertok. How many of you have heard of Wernher von Braun? How many of you have heard of Neil Armstrong and the landing on the moon? Okay, Neil Armstrong, Wernher von Braun was kind of the power behind helping get that going. And in Russia, there was this group of people, and Boris Chertok was one of them. He and Sergei Pavlovich Korolev. There's another one for you, but let it go. But he's talking about Russia, and he grew up in Russia through the Second World War all the way. He was lived to be 90. And he talks about his wonderful Mother Russia and loving Mother Russia and how they would sing patriotic songs because theirs was the greatest nation. And they loved their nation. They loved their country. And it was a good thing. And then as the book progresses, and he's in the 60s now, and Stalin, the great Joseph Stalin, the truth is coming out about some of the atrocities of that horrible regime. And Chertok is willing to admit that maybe there's some better ways to do things. He's admitting that his country that he loved so much, his Russia, isn't perfect. And there's something wonderful about Chertok's doing that. It reminds us to do the same thing. Our nation is not yet perfect. We are, I still think, the greatest nation, but we've got growing to do. We've got things to learn. Anybody that's looked at Washington knows we've got things to do. We have progress to be made yet. And admitting that and saying to ourselves, yes, we need to continue to grow. We continue to be the best nation we can be, to be an inclusive nation, to be a nation that's reaching out, that's caring, that's loving, that's compassionate, and doing the things for the right things. How many of you have heard of Anthony Bourdain? He has a He has a cooking show. I guess that's what I cannot remember the name of the show. Anybody? No reservations. Thank you. Daniel, I planted him here. And it's a cooking show, theoretically. He goes and tastes food all around the world. He went to Cuba, tasting food in Cuba. And he went to Palestine. Amazing places he goes. And he tastes these strange and unusual foods. Paya's going to take me to have Hawaii in one of these weeks. Paula, she's got this place she's telling me about already. So we're always exploring different things and all of those varieties. Bourdain goes to Iran. Video section, and they're in this big square, open, gathered area, and there's a lot of people there. And they're having some kind of a celebration. And they're singing, and they're dancing, and they're singing some, and they ask, what are they singing? Oh, he says, it's just a song, a ditty that we all sing. Kind of a rote song. Do we have any rote songs in America? Happy birthday. How many of you know the words to happy birthday? All right. See, that's rote, isn't it? Nobody, you didn't have to learn that out of it. Is it in a songbook anywhere, Don? Have you ever seen happy birthday in a songbook? Yeah. You have. All right. It's kind of scary that it has to be in a book, but that's all right. It's neither. How about it's something else that we know by rote? There you go. Pretty well. How about Ring Around the Rosie? You know that one? Let's see if we know it. Somebody sing it. Ring around the rosy. Hey, did you plant that? Did you tell them that? Did you give them lyrics to that ahead of time? So that's something we just know, isn't it? I didn't read that somewhere and learn it somewhere. Did you know that that is about the Black Death? The Black Plague? When you get the plague, you start to form this thing, and they call it a ring around the neck, a ring around the rosy. And there were people selling posies. It was a cure to prevent you from dying of the Black Plague. A pocket full of posies. A pocket full of posies. And then you begin to sneeze. It's not ashes. It's achoo. Achoo. We all fall dead. How about that for a rote hymn that we sing and love so much? Go home and teach it to your grandkids. Don't tell them where it came from. Here is Anthony Bourdain. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Anthony Bourdain is in Iran. They're singing this thing. He says, well, what are they singing? He says, oh, it's just a national thing. Everybody, they sing it over and over again. So they started picking apart and getting the translation. And one of the lines says, death to America. Here's this American filming crew, Anthony Bourdain standing there, and all of these, and they're singing, the kids are just smiling and waving and greeting them. They're more than welcoming them. And it's beautiful, this coming together of cultures. And one of the lyrics in this rote song is, death to America. I don't think they're even aware of how and what, and they're not putting the A plus B together there. How is it that they would do that? And are there things here in our country that we do by rote that are exclusive, that are hurtful, that are not Christian? Here am I, Lord. Call me. Send me. Let us stand up for those things. Let us champion those Christian things. Let us champion the Prince of Peace who taught us to welcome outcasts, not to judge, to be Christian together with every people, all of God's children. Now, I'm not criticizing America in any way, but I'm reminding us on our birthday that we aren't done yet. We're still growing. That egg that was hatched at the Declaration of Independence, if you'll use Ben Franklin's phrase, that egg that hatched is still growing. We're still becoming, and we can become better yet. I have to tell you, I pledge allegiance to this country, and I pledge allegiance and determination to make this country better and better every year. I pledge allegiance and determination to care for everyone I meet. Care for them and love them as Jesus teaches us. Love one another. And I pledge to follow the Prince of Peace in all my walk as I am about being a member of this country, and continue to do that. I guess it's about time to wrap up here. I have a closing prayer for all of us, I guess. Change is in the middle of this. Crisis with opportunity. And I tell you, I've had enough of the crises this week. If you want to hear some of the horrible, very nasty stories, and none of them anybody's fault, it's just the way things happened. And the stories of grace as well. But now we begin a journey together. The bishop says, I will be here for at least the next year. The bishop is the bishop. I mean, what can I say? The bishes and off we go. Maybe it'll be 17 years we'll spend together, and maybe we'll make a journey out of this, and maybe new change and new life will happen, and God will call and we will say, here I am. Here I am. I'm going to drive you nuts. I promise. You're going to drive me nuts. Do you want to promise? We're not here to worry about what was and what's we've always done and where we were and what we were. We're here about this place. And this is not my church. This is Christ's church. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has a goal, and that is to bring people in. Go make disciples of the world. And our response has to be, here I am. Send me. Amen.